fighting for America.
House Bill 2 will require that public restrooms and locker rooms be gender neutral. With respect to fitness centers and similar entities, that would mean that biological males who identify as women could be showering with your mothers, sisters, wives, and daughters with no advance notice to them.
Fighting for Idaho.
My wife Amy and I want to be proud of living in this state, and right now we're struggling with that. Passing HB 2 would be a great step in showing me that you want me here.
Fighting for you.
We should have faith that the people who know best how to run a business are the people who own and operate it.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
K-Milly in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, a state senator lays the smackdown. Front page of the Statesman, State Senator Jeff Sitaway, the chairman of the Senate Local Government and Taxation Committee. He controls the purse strings, which all tax increases and tax cuts must go through the House. Though he's no friend of the tax increases, he's indicated he won't even consider any tax cuts this session until starting pay for teachers is raised to 40 G's a year. From the Lewiston Tribune's William L. Spence, front page of the paper today, here's the quote. By the way, East Idaho senator holds governor's feet to the fire. Here is the quote when he's talking about Governor Otter, who I believe is still recovering from surgery. Our schools are dying, he said. I don't know how else to put it. We can't keep teachers or attract new teachers. And I'm afraid that's getting down into our education system where we can't attract college students to the profession. Nobody goes to college to get a degree where they qualify for public assistance. That is a debate and an indictment on our own education system. So is Senator Sitaway wrong when he says this, number one? And number two, do you blame the governor? Well, it was the legislature that passed the bill, that passed the cuts. And what about the state school superintendent? See, why didn't we have this debate, this discussion, when we had the election, right? And I know a lot of people are about Common Core and such, but, and yes, that's important. But if it's as bad as the senator says, shouldn't this be addressed before the legislative season so we could avoid these embarrassing headlines? A man that is never embarrassed until he appears with us every week, our great friend Dave Petzo from Money Matters, the Petzo Center. Petzo Financial joins us here at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. Always good to see you.
Always good to see you. As we talk business and everything else, we'll have Dr. Tommy Ahlquist joining us next hour to talk about his plans for the city and giving back and such. How big of an impact is it to have a great state or city or county education system when we're talking about bringing folks in?
Well, I think, you know, obviously, if you're thinking about moving a facility and moving all those people, education is one of the top things. You want to the whole package. And so obviously you have to sell all of these businesses on the idea that you are interested in education, better education, and are focused on it. So I think it's just one of the of many components, Kevin, that go into the mix. But it's an important one.
It's kind of like, how do you solve the economy? There are so many intricate layers in education. Is it, you know, is it about taxing more, paying people more? It seems like we spend enough money, but is the money properly allocated? Our friend Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, has kind of commandeered the headlines here on this program, making an issue of textbooks in some schools in Boise. The kids don't have textbooks. I mean, to us, that's unheard of.
Well, it is. But especially in this day and age when a lot of textbooks come, I assume they do anyway, on tablets and things like that. I assume that they're updated in you know, very simply and easily. The day of carrying a whole briefcase full of books, I assume, is diminishing. But much is done online. So that is surprising.
Yeah, and if you don't have a tablet, you should be able to have that old book with people's names carved in it.
Right.
But and look, we're, I think, a progressive city where, you know, people spend a lot of money. You know, you live in the city of Boise, you got those levies, and they passed those levies. But And then they have folks, and God bless the educators for working with it, but, you know, you got to go to the library, and, you know, next to Treasure Island is your chemistry book.
Right, right. And, no, it's you're right. We spend an awful lot of money. One of the things that I always, you know, talk about or the marvel about, Kevin, is only in government do we think that the solution to something that's broken is to put more money into it.
Right.
I mean, right. You know, the education system isn't working. Okay, it needs more money. The welfare state doesn't work. It needs more money. It doesn't need fixed. It needs more money, and that will naturally fix it. But no business would ever operate that way. But it's just this natural, do we need more money? Well, I don't think we do. What we need to do is fix the system. Does that require more money? Does it require less money? Money's not the question, or shouldn't be the first question. It should be the last question. It should be what is going to solve the problem. It just seems like with education, of course, people are so entrenched on all sides of some kind of viewpoint. The union won't budge on anything, and so it makes it very difficult to make changes.
Well, I want to hit you with this, Dave Petzo.
Uh-oh.
Because the governor did talk about a tax decrease for the upper earners here in the gem state, if you will. But you have the chairman of the Senate Local Government and Taxation Committee, Jeff Sitaway, a 66-year-old fourth generation sheep farmer who is from East Idaho, very conservative guy, says that I'm not going to put anything through until teachers minimally get paid $40,000 a year. What type of signal does that send? And are teachers going to get a raise because of the senator saying this?
I don't think they're going to necessarily get a raise, and it should be district by district that always has operated on local basis rather than on a state, or as the states all say, we want to take control of education, and they've handed it over to the school districts to do that, and local is better. So I don't know what the point of setting a minimum state standard is for this senator or congressman. I'm sorry, I don't know who.
State senator, but this is what he says. Now, you as someone who loves Idaho, when you travel to these big business conferences, people ask you about Idaho, and you sit there and tell it like it is.
Yep.
How great it is and everything else, because you could live anywhere.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Our local schools are dying. I don't get else how to put it. We can't keep teachers or attract new teachers, and I'm afraid that's getting down into our education system where we can't attract college students to the profession. Nobody goes to college to get a degree where they qualify for public assistance. Huge allegation, and you could say an indictment of the education system today.
Well, you can. I don't know that the local is dying. I think that's a bit overstated. And whenever you start off new in a job, whether it's teaching or anything else, you don't get this some kind of top pay. And I think it's absurd anyway. And I know this isn't going to be popular, but when I was a kid, the teachers had to work during the summer, especially the new ones. Now, as you got more tenure, you didn't have to. But now we have a job that basically, roughly speaking, is 180 days. I know there's a few on either side. And so if you're starting off on that job, I'm not sure that it should be paid a, quote, professional salary as you are trying to learn your trade. Just because you have a degree does not make you a highly qualified individual. I had licenses, too, and I certainly was not anywhere near as good a financial advisor in year one as I was in year five or ten or today. As people get more experience, they are flat better, and teachers are better and deserve more pay. But coming in and saying that we have to have some kind of minimum wage starting off is looking at education completely wrong. Again, it's just saying, well, if we paid everybody more money, then all the problems would go away. It's just that's just the wrong way to look at it.
We're going to ask you to put your headphones on here. Dave Petzo with us here at 580 KIDO. Our friend the president was in, and this would not be a session with Dave Petzo if we didn't allow him to respond directly to the president, and the president making so many contradictory statements about the economy and how wonderful it is. Let's get the truth here with Kevin Miller from our friend Dave Petzo. We'll put the president to the truth detector test.
And Idaho, we've got big things to do together. I may be in the fourth quarter of my presidency, but here at the home of the team, with the most famous Statue of Liberty play in history, I don't need to remind you that big things happen late in the fourth quarter.
Okay, there he is.
Here in Boise, your unemployment rate has fallen below 4%, and that's almost two-thirds from its peak 5 years ago. So the verdict is clear. The ruling on the field stands. Middle-class economics works.
I have no idea what his last... I thought the speechwriter was brilliant. I mean, that is a brilliant way to talk about it. Fourth quarter,
pandering.
Boise. Pandering, absolutely.
I mean, is everything
absolutely.
Boise State here? I mean...
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. No, hey, when it comes to the, you know, if you're standing there at BSU,
you're the opposition, Dave Petzo. Come on.
I know. Well, the rest of it, I've got to toss aside. I'm sorry. But I think the speech writing was great. It's not his. Speechwriter wrote it. He delivered it.
However, though, when he talks about middle class
is nothing. Yeah, that's
economics works. The middle class, specifically the black middle class, has shrunk amazingly under this president. And the president comes out and just basically lies about how everything is wonderful. Let's start with the unemployment numbers. You've covered this from the very beginning.
Yep.
The unemployment numbers are not real.
No, they're not. It's better. And Idaho's even better. And Idaho deserves credit, contrary to what the federal government has done, contrary to everything that Obama's tried to do. He's anti-business. He's done nothing to help. Number one, help the small business, which is the job creator, and he certainly hasn't helped the middle class in every single number. And even the Democrats, they're trying to grab this as an election issue going forward because it's been dismal when you look at how how flatline the middle class pay has been. And as far as the unemployment numbers, of course they're juiced. We have something like three times the number of people on Social Security. There's just this wide, get everybody on Social Security because that takes them off of the unemployment rolls. And then the people, so the job participation rate is the lowest it's been in this country since basically World War II. So when we look at that, time frame and say, why are people dropping out? Because they can't find a job. And you have multiple part-time jobs, not people earning a full-time working wage. That is a fundamental problem, whether it's structural, whether it's because of Obama's policies. Him taking credit for the middle class or the unemployment rate getting better in Idaho is absolutely ridiculous. But it doesn't stop him from taking credit for everything that's going right and denying everything that's going wrong.
What about his message, and we'll talk about this with Dave Petzo next, the message of socialism that seemed to resonate with the young people? We'll have Dave Petzo address that.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
What I do know about Boise is that it's beautiful. I know that because I've been here before. I campaigned here in 2008. It was really fun. And the truth is, because of the incredible work that was done here in Idaho, it helped us win the primary. And you know, I might not be president if it weren't for the good people of Idaho.
Gosh knows I tried to stop him in Pennsylvania, but Dave Petzo, it was you and the folks in Idaho that gave us Obama.
Thank you. Yeah.
And if you ever read Dan Ball's book, Chief Political Correspondent for the Washington Post, he spells out Obama's strategy. It was brilliant that he knew he couldn't win in the big money states like New Jersey, but if he put together an Idaho and an Oregon or a Wyoming, those delegates would be just as much as New Jersey. So fiscally, it was a brilliant strategy.
Well, it was. You cobble them together and you win how you win. It's an electoral election. This goes back to Abraham Lincoln. I mean, you know, there's so much written about Lincoln that it's fascinating to look at his run even to try to get the Republican nomination, which he wasn't even thought he would come close. But the strategy of cobbling together the correct number of delegates to win instead of going head-to-head where you can't win.
Well, my favorite Lincoln story actually is where, everybody has one, I guess. We're like David Leroy, I guess. But anyway, you know, where it looked like he was going to lose to, I guess, Meade or McClellan or whoever, and it was up to Sherman. And if Sherman hadn't taken Atlanta or gone to the sea, they thought Sherman had gone crazy. And once he had broken through the South, it assured his reelection. So let's talk a little bit about the president advocating socialism, saying that success should be for everyone. You have these young, impressionable millennials at Boise State that thought it was wonderful that he's going to equal the tide for everyone. We'll start with that, Dave Petzo.
Yeah, to me, Kevin, this is the most scary thing for future generations. Is to me the number one. We thought that this president would be a good idea in the first place with a socialist message from the beginning. This isn't a new Barack Obama. It's the same old. And the idea that he has an audience in this country is frightening to me, that we would think that the way to wealth, the way forward, is because, Kevin, you have more than I do. I'm not worried about what I have. I need to take what you have and get rid of it. If we take the big guys down, we will somehow feel better about ourselves. It's not a Robin Hood thing where you're literally giving to poor people to raise them up. This is not socialism. Does not raise people up. It flattens everybody out. It destroys the economy, and people cannot change or evolve from the circumstance that they're in right now. Taxes are so high. There's no way to accumulate wealth. Just look at Europe, and the same families have money and keep passing it down generation to generation. As an entrepreneur, you can rarely break through to move higher. Capitalism is a society that wealth is lost, wealth is made, and it's constantly turning over, and that's the beauty of it. And everything great in this world, everything from art to architecture to business to supercomputers, is done in the United States. Doesn't that dawn on anybody that everything good, everything beautiful, everything creative is done here?
According to the president, he's going to make it better. Quickly, I've got a couple more questions for you here. The idea that community college should be free, of course, that's going to cost us $60 billion, which more likely will be $120 billion. And then I want to know that everybody that went to college, do we get that money back?
No, we don't get it back. And besides, the idea that everything should be free is absurd. The idea...
What do you say to young people, though, that are drinking the Kool-Aid?
Look, if I had a choice, do I want to pay for something or do I want it to be free? But the point is with our kids, we want them to do what? We want them to partner with us when we're teaching them how to save. Does it do a kid any good if I just put money in an account for them? Or does it do them some good when maybe I put some money in, if they put some money in? We share the responsibility. We share the cost of education. I help my kid go through school, but doggone it, they need to go get a job. They need to pay for some part of it. They need to pay for the books. They need to pay for the tuition, something along the lines. That's what gets people to appreciate and really learn.
There is a report out of China that the good times might be over for them. What does that mean for us, and what does it mean for them that this incredible growth that they've had for many, many years could be coming to a standstill?
It could be slowing down, Kevin, or it is slowing down. That's not even a could be. It definitely is slowing down. I think it's a little soon to be writing off the Chinese. But to the point, if it does really slow down and pull into a recession, it would be really a big deal to the world because it's the second biggest economy in the world. It would be a major slowdown. We'd see oil prices decline dramatically, even from here, as well as you'd see continued declines in commodities. Now, you wouldn't see it as much as maybe you would think, because they have already declined because of the slowdown, not because of recession, but the fact that they're not growing as fast. The Chinese aren't using all those resources as much as they did before.
Talk about a buzzkill. Troby Lundberg, Trimby Lundberg, Lundberg, whatever, says that we might see the final bottoming out of gas prices. The last time they were $1.84 nationally, it was when President Bush left office. What do you make of that statement, and what impact will that have if gas prices start to go up?
Well, if they don't go up too much, we've still had a big savings here. So this is huge, and we're only really beginning to see the savings now.
Right.
Because it's something that works its way through the system. Obviously, the oil companies initially are taking a hit right now, but all of the, let's say, the gains are going to come over the next 6 months, year, as people get used to paying less and having more money in their pocket, and therefore spending more in the stores, restaurants, etc.
Dave Petzo, anything that we should be looking out for this week? It's funny, Maggie O'Mara was talking about Micron last week, and I go, Petzl was all over that, you know, as far as just how much the stock has appreciated.
Well, it's this particular week. Is I would watch the Greek elections and what I'm
the
seeing
Greeks.
The Greeks
Sparta or
don't
Athens
want no freaks a, yeah. But they're getting them
no Greek. Watch the Greek elections.
I date myself to the Eagles song, right?
It's yes. Okay. Yes.
Yes.
This is the station where you could do that.
I can
openly.
Do that.
Yes.
But the Greeks don't want no freaks, but they're getting them. And,
right.
And the leftist won, and they're thinking that the way to re-energize this country is to not pay their bills. Let's see how this goes out. If they form a coalition, I'm sure they will. But how will they govern? Will they govern from that? Because if so, if they leave the European Union, it's going to be devastating for the Greeks. Here's what I like about it. Look at the market reaction. We're flat this morning, and Europe is up slightly. They're not concerned about this. I think that's a very strong indicator that Greek is not the – it'll be a headline thing, but is not all that vital to the European Union.
Very different from a few years ago.
Very, yeah. Very, very different.
Dave Petzl, we're going to see you next week. Are you traveling the world? We're going to get consistently.
You're going to see me next week.
Oh, good.
I am traveling the world, but I'll be back.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Dave Petzl, the Petzl Center, Petzl Financial, 580 KIDO.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Welcome to the Manly Man segment. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Dave Burnett with us. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So we missed you yesterday. Good to have you back. You know, the more it changes, the more it stays the same, it seems. We've got Media Day today at the Super Bowl, and the Deflategate continues.
Yeah, Robert Kraft came on. I did see this and said that when this is all said and done and New England's proved to have done nothing wrong, then he expects an apology, in particular to Mr. Belichick and Mr. Brady. So if that were the case, I would expect the same to hold true, that if they're found guilty, then that they should stand and say they're guilty.
Well, won't they? Who? Belichick and Brady?
Sure.
Well, is it possible? Is it possible that we have a rush to judgment here?
I know this. Here's my feeling on this. In reality, the NFL, what's that guy's name? Goodell?
Yes.
Could have dealt with this and had this finished and done with. All he would have had to come out and say, the NFL found New England in violation, their balls were underinflated, they're fined, whatever. $1 million, whatever. Case closed.
Sure.
It's done. Underinflated, fined, done.
Right.
And to be done. And if the balls, as they say, were underinflated, they were in violation, fine them, done. But instead, the media keeps wanting to run with this stupid thing. I mean, it's just, oh, stop. And I think it's maybe because of the 2 weeks dead time and nothing to talk about.
Although the game is something I would think people would like to talk about.
I think the true sports fans would, you know. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's all the people that love watching the commercials that can talk about this because they have something to talk about.
Right.
You know, as I told you last week, yes, you can tell when the ball's underinflated. Went and had a test done just because it happened to be in the sports shop. Got it done. Yeah, I could tell a difference. Does Tom Brady know? Tom Brady likes throwing a softer ball. Maybe he was trying to get it right on the bottom edge instead of on the top edge. Aaron Rodgers says he likes the balls overinflated. Fine. If they're guilty and they're out, then fine them and move on.
Right.
Don't sit here and by Goodell not really saying anything, just leaves it open for the media to run wild. Maybe he thinks the promotion is good, but there's more to talk about. You got a good game coming up on Sunday.
Right.
I mean, it really is two very different kinds of teams, and there's a very good game coming up on Sunday. But instead, all we want to talk about is how much – I think everybody in the country knows how much pressure is in a ball now.
Well, on the other hand, though, could it be that the the Patriots did now they have a person of interest. Gee, I thought a person of interest was, you know, involved in a criminal investigation. That the ball boy, this is how ridiculous it is here at 580 KIDO, that the ball boy went to the bathroom, and did he deflate the balls in 90 seconds, or did he switch them out? And you're thinking to yourself, okay, what happens if Indianapolis overinflated? The Patriots erred on the side of
you know, right towards the edge, maybe a little lower. Then you have Bill Nye, the science guy, coming out. I get that Bill Nye doesn't really have much to do except be the science guy, but really, Bill Nye? Really?
Everybody wants, you know, everybody wants a piece of the action, Kevin.
Well, I do think, and again, I have a bias here, being probably the lone Patriots fan in this, certainly in this building, but perhaps in the state, that when Bob Kraft came out yesterday and said, we didn't do anything wrong, we expect an apology, you know, I thought they were all in with Belichick doing that on Saturday. Pardon the interruption, was talking a little bit about your theory. And the reason why the league, with Peter King, the reason why the league is not doing this is they so desperately want to get it right because Roger Goodell and the NFL, they've taken a beating. There was an in-depth piece on GQ that everybody goes, Goodell's taken a beating. He's maximized profits since he's taken over. Profits are up in the NFL 60%. They want to get it to what, a $25 billion league. He's been incredibly successful. Paul Tagliabue, the guy that was his predecessor, is mad at Goodell, and that was the only kind of salacious thing I saw in the article where he says Goodell cares about profit. He's hired by the owners, and why did he give Ray Rice a pass, as we've talked about before? I think Steve Bisciotti, the guy that owns the Ravens, called him up and said, hey, we need Ray Rice. Can you do me a solid? How else would you explain that?
Mm-hmm.
No, and he works. It's just like when the big boss says to you, hey, Dave Burnett, I need you to do something.
Okay. You've hired me to do your stuff. Okay.
but I mean, then everybody's like on Goodell. It's just kind of strange to me. You know what I mean?
I just miss Pete Rozelle. Whatever happened to the day?
Well, that's really old school.
How old school is that? Pete Rozelle. I was struggling to remember the name, but I came up with it. Yeah, I just find it fascinating that, you know, that they, you know, they've made such a big deal out of it. And I guarantee you every, you know, and if somebody wound up getting caught, they're going to blame the ball boy. He's going to be the fall guy. And the ball boy may be a man. I don't know. I don't think it's some 12-year-old kid. If I was Tom Brady, I certainly wouldn't leave some kid in charge of the, you know, the tool of my trade. So I don't know. There's a whole lot more to this. And I happen to be in the casino over the weekend, and the biggest thing it would affect is the over-under. If I knew that Tom Brady was throwing a softer ball, I might pick more points because he might have a better handle on it and might score more points. Now, did it matter in the Indianapolis game? No, but there were a couple games earlier in the season where they won by 3. Maybe it made a difference there. I don't know. But then I don't know if they, you know, I don't know if they were playing with softer balls or not then or not. You know, it's just agonizing. And there's a good game coming up on Sunday. There really is a good game. I don't have a dog in the fight, either team. It doesn't really matter. But I just hope for a good game.
Well, then you have, here's the other thing. How much does this, in fact, influence the game? And by the way, at 580kido.com, you can vote on Deflategate. Who do you believe? A, this is stupid. B, the Patriots are cheaters. C, Bill Belichick's. D, Tom Brady. Or I guess E, none of the above. Or F, none of the above. Something like that.
I'm voting that they're cheaters because they stole signals. They're found guilty of that.
Like what Belichick said. Hey, 80,000 people are watching the guy do signals. What are the Patriots guilty of? They're guilty of being winners.
I hate that too.
And people hate them.
You know, that's the culture that we have in sports and maybe in life here in this country. You know, Pittsburgh, oh, loved it. It's the what they call the miracle play with Franco Harris.
The immaculate reception.
Everybody, and then after they'd won a bunch of them, it's like, oh, hate them. Enough of them. Dallas Cowboys, oh, love Tom Landry. I hate them. After somebody wins long enough, then everybody kind of turns on them. They want to see him fall.
Right, but you get back to this, then you have Richard Sherman mouthing off, saying essentially, well, you know, Bob Kraft hangs out with Roger Goodell, so he's putting pressure on. And I don't know if I like Sherman or I hate Sherman. I hated him last year. But he's not a dummy. He's a very smart guy. By the way, at 580kido.com, let's plug the website Tuesday. You have an article I did where you have Russell Wilson and Richard Sherman endorsing endorsing Obamacare. What do you make of that?
There's a lot of athletes that do.
I don't see Tom Brady endorsing Obamacare.
I don't know. But, you know, his league does.
I do know. Tom Brady ain't endorsing Obamacare. So how about that? Here we have Russell Wilson, Mr. American Family Insurance. He doesn't want you to go to American Family Insurance. He wants you to go to Obamacare. And then you got the other guy who, again, smart guy. He's the best ever. Just listen to him. He'll tell you. Telling you to go to Obamacare. So you have these young, impressionable kids going to Obamacare because of the Seahawks. I blame them for Obamacare. Seahawks.
I choose to keep politics out of sports.
But they what happens when they inject it?
I choose not to listen.
No, but I mean, really, and hopefully, I mean,
do you want me to hate Seattle because they like Obamacare?
Yes, hate Seattle. No, no, but I mean,
but
you know, it's like going to a concert. Okay, it's going to a concert, and all of a sudden somebody says, "Well, President Bush is a bad person," or "I love President Obama." You're like, dude. I don't really hear. Hold on. Let's see if we have
football field. We're thinking about what we need to do to win.
No, it works.
And also what we need to do to keep ourselves healthy so we can keep doing what we do best.
When your health or the game is on the line, nothing is more important than quality coverage.
So make the right call. Visit healthcare.gov and get covered. All I know is their receivers will be covered on Sundays.
Oh, boy. And before we get to that, by the way, Paul Allen hangs out with Roger Goodell, too. So, I mean, whatever, Richard Sherman. But, okay, so you heard that. And our sound works today, which is really good. Yeah. So, your thoughts on that?
Again, I choose to keep politics out of sports. I choose to keep politics out of singing. Hello, Dixie Chicks. Love your music. Shut up and sing. Oh, wait, they went away. You know, and there is a consequence to pay. If the public hates what it is you're saying, you ultimately will pay the price. You know, honestly, to be honest with you, a lot of these athletes, their agent goes, hey, you'll get X amount of money if you do this. Okay. You know, that's the way most of them are. They don't even think about it. They do it because there's cash.
Well, I look, Russell Wilson, he's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Sherman, he's a smart guy. I think they knew what they were doing. And you bring up a good point. Maybe the league mandated they do it because the NFL is all about that. You know, they endorsed Obamacare.
As is the NBA. You know, sports, I mean, the Obama administration is smart enough to know who do we get to come over to our side to try to influence people. Let's go with sports. So they went hard after sports.
Hmm.
You know, they were smart enough to figure that part out.
I see. Well, you ready for something else?
Yeah, I am. Give it to me.
All right. A story that's going to have a lot of ramifications here locally, but it is the buzz of the national news. Here's Peter Ducey at 580KIDO.
Based on recent information, the investigation into Bo Bergdahl's disappearance from his Afghanistan post in 2009 is done, and the decision about what to do next is on the desk of a general courts-martial convening authority who could order a court-martial or could do nothing. In the days and weeks after Bergdahl was returned to the United States, men he served alongside said others were killed in battles that occurred during the search for Bergdahl. And in June, President Obama said this, quote, I make absolutely no apologies for making sure that we get back a young man to his parents, and that the American people understand that this is somebody's child, and that we don't condition whether or not we make efforts to try to get them back. And throughout the investigation into his actions, Bergdahl has been working a desk job at Fort Sam Houston in Texas.
A lot of people have been asking me about Bo Bergdahl, so there he is, still at Fort Sam.
And still, the decision's been made, at least, you know, the inquiry. But yet, we have not heard what it'll be. It's going to be difficult for the military to, I mean, they might court-martial him. It will be difficult, I think, to punish him as far as imprisonment, because the man has already spent time in prison being held by the Taliban.
Wonder if they'd dock his back pay. Talk about a lot of money he's got coming to him.
Yeah, well, you know, officially he was in their employ. So it's going to be difficult for them to punish him in that sense.
Well, and when the president makes a deal to get you out.
Yeah, and
that's kind of like when the big boss does something for you.
I would.
Then you do something wrong. Chances are you're going to get a pass.
My gut feel is, and I don't know, but my gut feel is had a deal not been done by this time, we would have seen his head lopped off on TV.
Well, I'm just saying, regardless of where you work and what you do, if your employers have an interest in something you're about, chances are you're going to get a pass. In this case, President Obama is interested in Bo Bergdahl. By the way, we should have said this, and you and I both said this, and maybe you said it before me, and if you did, I want to give you proper attribution for this. Why weren't the Bergdahls there to greet Obama?
Good question.
I think you had that, and you gave me that idea, but yeah. I mean, where were the Bergdahls? And you know something, as you know, I'm a little torn because I know them. Very tough.
Let me jump in and help you out. I think when the president did what he did for Bo Bergdahl, I think he was expecting a total different reaction. I think they misguessed how the public would react. And so I think they're trying to keep their distance.
Well, let me hit you with this. Are our friends on the conservatives being too hard on him for the matter of fact, it's very easy for someone in Texas or South Carolina to be that damn Bergdahl traitor when they don't have the local impact that we do.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, you know, not from the area said, I don't even know who that guy was. They didn't have a clue. And then all they heard is what had happened. And the bottom line is, you know, some of the accusations, I don't know, have we ever been able to come up with a name of somebody who was killed out searching for him?
There were a lot of accusations.
Exactly. There were accusations, but I don't know that anyone's ever been able to say Billy Smith was the one who was killed when we were out on patrol.
A lot of accusations, kind of like what Mr. Kraft is facing, and I'm facing, and Mr. Belichick, the four horsemen of football, Bob Kraft, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and me, in my delusional world.
I think I'll leave it at that. Your traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Canyon County.
30 degrees right now in Mountain Home. Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, add the words day two. We'll have a complete update recap. Your thoughts on what happened. By the way, traffic very foggy. Please be careful. Weather high today in the 40s. Keep it here. Stay informed.